Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. First Canto, Chapter 18, Description of Varnashram Dharma, Text Number 16. Drishti putam yasit padam, vastra putam vivechalam, satya putam vadipacham, mana putam samachare. Drishti, by the sight. Putam, ascertained as pure. Nyase, he should place. Padam, his foot. Vastra, by his cloth. Putam, filtered. Pide, he should drink. Jalam, water. Satya, by truthfulness. Putam, pure. Vade, he should speak. Vacham, words. Manaha, ascertained by the mind. Putam, to be pure. Samachare, he should perform. Translation. A saintly person should step or place his foot on the ground only after verifying with his eyes that there are no living creatures such as insects who might be injured by his foot. He should drink water only after filtering it through a portion of his cloth. He should speak only words that possess the purity of truth. Similarly, he should perform only those activities his mind is carefully ascertained to be pure. Purport. While walking, a saintly person is careful not to kill any creatures on the ground. Similarly, he filters his drinking water through cloth to avoid swallowing small creatures living within the water. Speaking untruth simply for sense gratification is detrimental to devotional service and should be avoided. Speaking impersonal philosophy and glorifying the sense gratification of the material world, even that found in heavenly planets, contaminates the heart and must be avoided by those desiring perfection in the loving service of the Lord. By serious consideration, one can understand that any living activity other than devotional service to Lord Krishna has no ultimate value. Therefore, one should exclusively engage in the purified activities of Krishna consciousness. Om Ajnana Pimarandasya Yananda Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Se Gurve Nama Shri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Stafitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Darati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Pada Kamalam Sri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahaganagatam Vitamtam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijanasaitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sivisakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vindavane Swari Vishavanu Sutadevi Pranamani Hari Kriya.
sakalpatrubhyacha sakripa sindhubhyaivacha palitanam pavanebhyo vaisnavebhyo namo namah. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada once stated that surrender means to follow all the rules and regulations, even the finer, detailed ones. So gradually, we are meant to become saintly persons. And therefore, gradually, little by little, step by step, we must change all our ways in life. Because over many lifetimes, we have gradually become contaminated. The Vishnu Purana is explaining that. It is said, aparapta phalam papam kutam vijam phalam mukam kramaneva praliyata vishnu bhaktiratatmanam. It is explaining how the sinful activities leave sinful reactions, and that these sinful reactions are stored within the heart, and they pile up there. And when the sinful reactions are there stored in large quantities, it is referred to by the word kutam. And it is said that the stock of these sinful reactions creates a sinful inclination within us. And therefore, one develops sinful desires. And therefore, one will be inclined to more sinful thoughts, sinful action, and so on. And then, those sinful actions lead to more sinful reactions, which add to the stock in the heart. The stock in the heart is also diminishing by getting the fruits of our sinful activity. And we get different types of reactions and suffering for these sinful activities. So, therefore, a sinful person, one who has a sinful inclination in the heart, will be inclined to engage in more sinful activity. Thus we have to break this endless cycle, and we have to become pious, even when it is difficult at first. So we must look for purification. We must practice to be truthful, to speak the truth, which of course is not the case in our normal behavior. Who speaks the truth all the time? It has become a second habit. And some people are referred to as pathological liars, compulsive liars, who cannot help themselves to lie even when there is no apparent need for it. It simply has become an addiction, and they have a network of lies. So, all these things are symptoms of sinful contamination. So we are meant to become saintly persons. Actually, to be a saintly person is the natural condition for any human being. It's not exceptional. Nowadays, it's exceptional. A saint. We are highly impressed. But actually, this is the normal condition of life. It is abnormal to be caught in a network of lies and in sinful activities and so on. That is completely abnormal. And the result is that we become entangled in a network of sinful reactions. And then we have to have hospitals and health insurances and all these kind of things. And that's normal in this age where everyone's sinful. But we see that in previous times there were no hospitals, and it is said there was no disease. At the time of Lord Ramachandra, there was no disease in the kingdom. Finished. Everyone was healthy. Because health is related to piety, and disease is related to sinful activity. We may think that you catch something, a virus or a cold, when suddenly the weather changes and so on. But that is the modern day approach. We see that even when there's a virus around, some people get it and others don't. Ayurveda, the Vedic medical science, is the science of Ayur, long life. And it is the science of how to be healthy, rather than a medical science that only gets into action once you get sick. That is the modern approach. Wait till you get sick and then we'll treat you. In Ayurveda, the idea is, let's make you healthy so that you don't get sick. Right? So let us become pure so that we don't become afflicted by sinful reactions. That is the first principle. Therefore, a sadhu, sometimes the word sadhu, saintly person, one who is dedicated to the truth, sat, to the truth. A sadhu is one who is sadhava, and Srila Prabhupada translates the word sadhava as one who is thoroughly honest. Thoroughly honest means thoroughly dedicated to the absolute truth. Honest doesn't just mean that you never speak a lie. Honest means you speak the absolute truth. Manchita matkata panam puriyantas parasparam katayantas chamamnitcha tushantica ramantica. Then one becomes satisfied. That kind of discussion satisfies the heart. Whereas the sinful reactions, they will dry up our heart. Now it is interesting that two types of sinful contamination is mentioned here in the purport, namely karma and jnana. It is said that karma, the desire to enjoy the material world, and jnana, the sinful activities of denying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And even in the name of religion, such activity may be performed, and yet it is considered an offense when one denies the personal existence of the Supreme Lord. It creates reactions which bring one further away from the Supreme Lord. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we find the example of Prakasananda Saraswati, a sannyasi, Mayavadi sannyasi in Benares, with many followers. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met him. And it is said that this Prakasananda, he could not speak the name Krishna. It was not possible. That could not get just out of his mouth. He couldn't do it. He couldn't say Krishna. Because he had committed so many offenses again and again by denying the existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as being eternal, that at one point he couldn't say that anymore. Chaitanya he could still say, but Krishna he could not say. So it is mentioned. So this is the result. The result by committing such offense, denial of the form of the Supreme Lord, is that one becomes removed further and further from the Supreme Lord. Therefore, Mayavadi Pasya Sunina Hoya Sarvanasa. If we hear the explanation of the Mayavad philosophy, everything will become spoiled, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu warned us. So we must be careful in this regard, undoubtedly. See, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has warned us. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he has given us an interesting example. He has given us an example of a person who is skinny and who has at the same time a good appetite. And like, how is it possible? This person is eating and eating and eating and yet still skinny. And just it seems that he doesn't put on weight. One possibility is that this person has worms. And that actually the worms do the eating, and that he's just every day faithfully feeding his worms. And the worms are growing big and fat. Yes. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta explained that actually this karma and jnana are like the worms of bhakti. And that if we are still involved with them, sense gratification and the desire to deny the material world, then we don't get the nourishment of bhakti. And we are engaging in bhakti, but we don't get the nourishment. We're just feeding our worms. So it's a very graphic analogy of how the nourishment of bhakti is then not happening. And we find that Srila Kavikarnapur, in his biographical drama, the Chaitchandra Chandradaya Natak, he gives a whole description of bhakti. And he says there are two types of bhakti. Bhakti with nectar and bhakti without nectar. So those who are somehow or other too much covered by sinful reactions from the past, or those who are currently committing some offenses in devotional service, they may find themselves to be performing that bhakti without nectar. And that bhakti is difficult. That bhakti becomes a burden. That kind of bhakti is a punishment. And at one point one is thinking, why am I doing this to myself? Why am I punishing myself like this? Why am I denying myself to live? Year after year, I am simply restricting myself with rigid principles. Don't eat this, don't eat that. Nothing allowed. No intoxication at all, not even tea. Such a mind thing. No illicit sex, even in marriage. Even in marriage there are restrictions. So, one who is committing offenses in devotional service will at one point no longer be able to see the sense of this. Naham prakasa sarvasya yoga maya samavritta. It becomes covered. So one becomes covered. Yesterday I saw some biography of a devotee who displeased Srila Prabhupada by disobeying his instructions. And then, after some time, he left ISKCON. He said, I couldn't relate to the organization anymore. And then he decided to pursue an academic career, and he said, nowadays, I would not call myself a Vaishnava anymore, right? I am rather agnostic these days. Yeah? But I'm still very interested in studying the Vedic text, you know, which is my field, and as an academic, and this is what I'm studying now. And I was just thinking, just see, naham prakasa sarvasya yoga maya samavritaha, covered. Covered over now. But he cannot see. He doesn't say that actually, due to my mistakes in spiritual life, I can see that I have lost Krishna, I have lost taste now. But everyone else can see you've made mistakes, you disobeyed a great pure Vaishnava spiritual master, and as a result you lost your taste. And but he cannot see. He said, no, I moved on. You know, I moved on. And I went deeper into really studying the text. I studied Sanskrit. I went very deep into studies. And now I can derive deeper meaning and just see through the whole thing. Yes. Sometimes just on two verses, we spent 2 months. 2 months, because every word in Sanskrit has at least 50 meanings, and in this way we can derive so many different meanings. And yes, in this way we have gone beyond now. So this is the result of offense. So the nature of offenses in spiritual life is that it covers our consciousness, and then Krishna just takes away our taste in devotional service, and we cannot even see it. And we find different material reasons that justify our actions, by which it's logical for us to move on. Very logical. Yes, in this regards, the process of bhakti is always pure. Devotional service is always pure, and it has a self-purifying effect. It is very interesting. Sometimes we see that within the process of devotional service there are deviations. We see that that in the history of Vaishnavism that different groups have had a philosophical deviation. They developed their own idea about the philosophy and so on. So I was just saying that the process of bhakti is always pure. But what if there are philosophical deviations? Can these philosophical deviations not cover the process of bhakti or even spoil it? Would that theoretically be possible? Well, not for long, actually. I'll give an example. It is just like when an oil tanker, a big oil tanker, has a problem and there is an oil spill, and the whole surface of the ocean becomes covered. In the same way, it can be, when there is a big deviation, that the surface of bhakti becomes covered by some deviation. But what happens to the oil spill? What happens? The wind and the waves, they move this oil along and ultimately throw it on the land. And the sea again becomes purified from this oil spill. So in the same way, it happens when there's deviation. When people start to deviate, sooner or later they have to leave. They cannot stay. After a little while, they feel like, we cannot stay here, we have to start. I'll start on my own. And then, in this way, the ocean of bhakti has a self-purifying potency and throws off this kind of deviation. And therefore deviation can only temporarily cover the surface. It cannot go deep. In depth, it can never touch. Just like the ocean, if it is covered by an oil spill, then only the animals that are on the surface, they are suffering a lot. They are very much affected. But those who are deep, deep in the ocean, it has no effect on them. So in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu also, it is recommended that the Vaishnava should become very deep. They should go very deep into bhakti. So to be a saintly person is not only about avoiding sinful activities and giving up old sinful habits, and it is not only about avoiding offenses. It still goes a step further. To be a saintly person means one has to be very deep, deep in his hearing and chanting about Krishna, to hear about Krishna and to hear how Krishna likes to be served, and then to try and adjust his life, not to come up with so many excuses. Oh, I cannot do this. This is too difficult. That is actually, that mentality is the result of previous sinful reaction. This is too difficult. Oh no, I cannot do this. Why not? That is due to previous sinful contamination. Chant. We heard it in Aniruddha's car 2 days ago on a recording. Prabhupada's favorite comic, definitely. A comic in a newspaper. And when Prabhupada saw an old lady asking her husband to chant, and he said, can't. And Prabhupada had this comic cut out, he had it photocopied, he had it sent all over the place, because they had no attached files in those days. So Prabhupada was very eager to share this with everyone. Chant, can't. What does it mean? Too much sinful contamination in the heart. Can't. So one must look for purification, and one must overcome the lethargy. The result of the sinful remnants in our hearts is a certain lethargy. Oh, it's so difficult. It's so difficult to bow down all the way. I'll just prana. It's easier. Prana. All the way down. Oh, just pranama. No, not just pranama. Down. All the way on your knees. And why not flat? Flat on the ground in front of the deity. Why not? Then you are paying obeisances. Obviously, it is a little more meaningful. The ladies are not paying flat obeisances because the earth is female. And it is said that there is an injunction that the breasts of ladies should not touch in an embrace like that. Yeah. So therefore, ladies are not making a flat dandavats in the temple. But still, why not? The point is the lethargy. That is my real point. Our lethargy. The inner reluctance to surrender, the inner reluctance to invest, to do it, is actually the lack of enthusiasm. So difficult. Do I have to really lift this hand and put it all the way in my bead bag and then move these heavy beads, you know, one after another? Too much work. My fingers are getting tired. Yes. Lethargy. Due to material contamination. Understand it is that. We have no taste. Know that you are sinful. That's it. No taste means sinful. Sinful wretch. That means no taste, actually. So anyway, let us look for purification. So, in the beginning, by intelligence, we are submitting ourselves to a process. Maybe not by taste. So in the beginning, there may be bhakti without nectar. And that's all right. Don't panic. Oh, I have no taste. Oh, I still have such a problem with attentive chanting. Oh, I cannot do so many times. The same questions are being raised. Oh, I have a problem with attentive chanting. That means still material contamination is there. So, look for more purification and it will come. Try to overcome the sinful habits. Try to be positive. Apply ourselves in devotional service. And as we are becoming purified, everything becomes lighter and more happy and more inspiring, and spiritual life becomes a pleasure. And say, yes, wonderful, let us just serve. The question, how can you always be so enthusiastic, is which was asked to some devotees, some exalted devotees. That question is answered by simply serving Krishna purely. Just like today I'm talking all about contamination, just to give you a happy Sunday morning. And I thought I'd speak all about positive things, so to make it still more positive, right, I thought let's bring up the topic of fall down, just to make you feel really happy before breakfast. Let's sink our teeth for a moment into fall down. Now, whenever a sannyasi falls down, it is like a big fall down with firecrackers and like headlines all over the world and drums beating, and the whole world knows about it. Have you heard? 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 But there is also another category of fall down. It is known to be the silent fall down. The silent fall down. The one that doesn't come into the news. The one that no one speaks about. But the one that shows on the moroseness of someone's face. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Suffering so much in this chanting is too painful. Then we can ask the question honestly, privately: are you really following? I'm trying. Trying means you are not following. I'll try to follow four regulated principles. I'll try to chant 16 rounds. Yes. So that means that we are being controlled by the sinful inclination, which is the result of the past. And due to this fall down, we make it worse. We make it worse. So then you see that bhakti becomes difficult. And then people, they sometimes give up. They give up. They leave. Srila Prabhupada also mentioned that one shouldn't be surprised if someone leaves. One should be surprised if someone stays. But that's a very big statement. And that statement was there for us to sort of, like a cold shower, like a bucket of ice cold water. One shouldn't be surprised if some leave, one should be surprised if some stay. Wow, what was that? I should wake up. I should make sure that I will be amongst the few that will stay. So let me apply myself. Now maybe with not so much taste. That's all right. That's all right. Oh, I have no taste. It's okay. You're not expected to have any. Why did you think that you were supposed to have taste if you came from a fallen background? No. No, no. We're not meant to have any taste in the beginning. No, and the beginning can be many years. I still have no taste. Yeah? Not meant to have any. Still, because there are all these sinful reactions. So first out of dharma, out of duty. Faith must be there. It will work. But first one must do it. So we must brace ourselves. Just like, you know. And everybody fasten your seatbelts, and then we're going to show you the brace position. You know, like, okay, get ready. The brace position. So in Krishna consciousness, we have the brace position. The brace. We have our seatbelts, devotee association, take only Krishna prasadam. and at best the real prasada, a packet of chips, really won't do it. I've been to a chips factory and I saw what it was like. I saw the potatoes coming in by trucks and they were being sliced and then go on the conveyor belt and they were dried and then they were going through a dip with the hot oil, come out fried, and then hot air blows spices on top of them. And then on the other side there are the workers that are crunching and munching away on the fresh hot chips, yummy, yummy, every day. And after that, we offer it to Krishna. And what if someone in the kitchen would do that here in the temple, right? Someone comes in, and the pot is nicely boiling on the stove, and suddenly someone walks in and just goes like, "Ew, tasty. Ah, what did you do?" Huh? We can't offer this to Krishna, we have to throw it away. But the chips, no worries, mate. We'll offer them any time. Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu. Crunch, crunch, crunch. So I guess Lord Chaitanya, in his causeless mercy, is saying, all right, let it be prasadam. Yeah. But it's not the kind of prasadam that makes you ecstatic. Right? I mean, if you get ecstatic after eating a packet of chips, then there is a good chance that you're still under the three modes of material nature. You know? Because on a transcendental platform, there's really not much happening, you know, in one of those silver-colored bags or whatever. Yeah. So let us go for the purity. Mahaprasada, yes. Let us go for that. And let us distribute it. Since I was speaking about bhakti with nectar and bhakti without nectar, I want to offer you a little analogy or a little metaphorical story which has developed. It is about when we come into Krishna consciousness in the beginning. In the beginning, as you come in, you get a little cup. It's tiny. And that little cup, every devotee gets one. Welcome to the temple. Here is your cup. It's tiny. It's your little nectar cup. And it's with that cup that you have to catch some nectar. Yeah, got a few drops. Good. But only a few drops. Is there more? Yeah, there's more. Still a few more drops. So with that little cup, you get some, but not enough, really. But still it's good. Then as we are staying around and engaged in devotional service, our nectar cup is slowly growing. Slowly, slowly. A little more. But the day that we start to use our little nectar cup for giving out the nectar instead of taking it ourselves, that day our cup starts growing much faster. And eventually it grows into like a whole big vessel, you know, like nicely polished, and you can just pour out the nectar and then you can also pour it in. So then one has bhakti with nectar. But in the beginning we have only a little cup and therefore we get like only drops. So the capacity for us to actually taste the nectar is the problem. It's not that the nectar is there. Our cup is very small. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that if we give out the mercy, Krishna's Kavya's Goswami is writing, if we give out the mercy of Krishna consciousness, we find that we'll get more than we had before. So therefore the analogy of the cup, which is growing more if we start giving it out. So we should get into this mood. Let's get some Mahaprasada. We'll take some, but we'll also bring some to others. And in this way, we rise above the packet of chips and above the chocolate bars, and we say, chocolate's okay, but it's not the same as Mahaprasada. And by the way, it's full of insect parts and all kinds of other things. So, you know, where's Burfi? It's completely pure. So why not just go for the Mahaprasada? So gradually, our taste for these material things will disappear as we are tasting more and more nectar in devotional service. All right, any questions, any comments? Yes.
You mentioned about the person can actually fall down due to offenses or offenses to the name or offenses to the other devotees. If you do feel that you have fallen down, what's the way back? Is there a possibility that they can again rise in the same lifetime, and what they should do?
Yeah. When there is a fall down, if there is fall down, then it is time for some reflection. It's not that you just jump back up and start running again. No, you just if in this world we fall down, we first get up. Everything's still in one piece, right? And so on. And it's good to reflect a little bit. Why did this happen? Why did this happen? Srila Prabhupada said, "Failure is the pillar of success." So. Basically, from failure we learn, oh, this I should not do anymore. Did we commit any offenses? That's a possibility. Did we make sure to keep a safe distance from Maya? Maya is very strong. It's like falling down. If you go stand on the edge, right? And there's a good possibility. So if we go so close to Maya, well, then it can happen. So we must be careful with Maya. In the past, here in Australia, we did paintings to help to pay for the temples, and that sometimes we went to strange places. One time they took me to a house which had flashing lights on the outside, and I was wondering what is going on, and then the door opened and this girl came in, and she was wearing silver hot pants and a purple blouse, and she said, "Hi guys, come in." And I wasn't sure if that was really what we should be doing. But we did it anyway. And we went inside, and it was the first time and the last time, that it be noted before it goes on the internet, that I went to the prostitutes. And we came in through a door to a corridor, and there was a lounge, and there were all girls, and they were saying, "Hi guys." My heart was beating in my throat, and but I said, "Well, you know," said, "Hi, good day, how are you going?" Just showing around a few old paintings today, as I learned it from my, from my Sankirtan gurus. And then the girls immediately changed. Go, "Ah, salesman," you know. And then we showed the paintings to the girls. And the girls, they said, "Ah, nice, nice." And the system used to be, if they liked a painting, then you would take that and put it aside. And then there was another one, "You like that one too?" "Yeah, put it aside as well." And then you have a whole stack at the end. And you try to sell the whole stack to the girls. So the girls were into it. Said, "Yeah, we'll buy the paintings." And then he said, "Yeah, we love them. Great." He said, "The only problem is, we have no money." And then he said, "But we can work something out." He said, no, that's not possible. These are not ours. The boss will never agree with this, you know, looking up at Krishna. And he said, no, they have to be paid for. Then the girl said, "Well, it's okay. But then, you know, you'll have to wait till we make the money." And that night we were chanting our japa while the girls were making money to pay the payments. We never did that again. I think we got a little too close to Maya. So one must not get too close to Maya, even for preaching. One must be careful. One must be careful. So we look at what's the cause of my fall down. Was I too intimate in my dealings with the opposite sex? One looks at the cause of fault. And then, what do you do next? Carry on. Just carry on in devotional service. But expect that after a fall down, there may be less taste. Expect that. That's to be expected. It's a struggle to get back up, and the struggle will be that there will be less taste. it will be a little difficult to get back to a point where the taste comes back. And that has to be done. Anyone else? Yes.
You spoke about preaching. So in the beginning, because of reluctance, not all the employees are willing to preach.
Mm-hmm.
We understand that, yes, now we are all set to preach.
Yes, talking about preaching, and in the beginning, we may have some hesitation to preach. It's because we have also stereotype ideas of what preaching is. One can preach in so many ways. You can give some Mahaprasadam to a friend. That's not difficult preaching. Not a thing. Well, taste this. It's really good. It's from the temple. Wow, delicious. You can do things like that. See? So it depends. It may be difficult to go on the street with books and to stop somebody and say, excuse me, are you here out of town yet? Yeah. From Melbourne? Oh, lucky you. There you go. You get one of these. Today we can hand them out. They're not for selling, they're for reading. Things like that. People get all confused. Are you giving me the book? But we didn't quite say that. We're not selling, but we're just, can you give a donation? For the printing cost. So like this, people are, we are distributing books. That is a little difficult at first. It takes some time before we can do that. But on other levels we can reach. You can give someone a book or a magazine. Why not? Some gifts that we can do. So everyone can preach. You can invite some friends and bring them to the temple. So it's actually really nice. I go there sometimes. You don't have to say, I'm totally converted, I'm a Hare Krishna now. You just say, I go there sometimes. Why don't you come along? That's preaching. So everyone can on his own level. And if you're a householder with 12 children and you never get out of the house, invite people to your house. You can invite people. Invite them for prasadam. That's also preaching. So everyone can preach. Everyone. But we are having a stereotype idea of what preaching is. Never we think we cannot do it. But just somehow or other, bring people to Krishna. Give them some mercy. Can do. Anyone else? Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.